Welcome to these Bible lessons on the Old Testament. In these lessons, we'll cover God's magnificent creation of all the world, including the creation of man, the crown of God's creation. We'll follow with the sad fall of man in paradise and the consequences this brought to the world. In the continuing lessons, we'll teach how God visits men with the revelation of His covenant of grace. When we travel together through the entire Old Testament, we see God visiting His nation of Israel with revelations of this covenant of grace, pointing constantly to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope these lessons are a blessing to you. Thank you.
Obadiah's name in the Hebrew means servant or worshiper of Jehovah. Other than that, little is known about this prophet. The title of the book, as indicated in the first verse, is The Vision of Obadiah. The original Hebrew verb can mean either to see or to envision. The purpose of the book of Obadiah is to describe the judgment on Edom for its hostilities against Israel. There is a problem, however, with conclusively dating when this conflict occurred. There are two distinct views on this matter. One is to give the date for the Edomite hostility described in Obadiah as 845 BC, during the reign of Jehoram. We can read this in 2 Chronicles 21, verses 8 through 10, and also verses 16 to 17. And the other is 586 BC, after the destruction of Jerusalem, in which the Edomites rejoiced. This we can read in Psalm 137, Lamentations 4, Ezekiel 25. Obadiah seems to be describing something that is not as intense as the severe Edomite activities of 586 BC, so it is likely that the date of composition is during the reign of Jehoram, who reigned from 853 to 841 BC, after Edom revolted against Judah. Support for the early date of Obadiah is also found in observing that both Amos, who wrote around 760 BC, and Jeremiah, who wrote 627 BC, showed an acquaintance with the book. It is necessary to remember that the Edomites were descendants of Esau. In Genesis 25, we read that the children struggled together within Rebekah, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." This struggle reveals itself through history of Esau selling his birthright and the account of Jacob deceiving his father Isaac to receive the blessing. The conflict continues centuries later when Moses is leading the people through the wilderness. Messengers sent from Moses ask the king of Edom, "Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders." And Edom said unto him, "Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword." We read this in Numbers 20, verses 17 and 18. Since the Edomites refused to let the Israelites through their borders, they had to take a different route. In the New Testament, Herod seems to be the last descendant of the Edomites mentioned by name. Herod was an Idumean, or an Edomite half-caste, so in Jewish eyes, he was unfit to rule. As a client king of Rome, Herod symbolized foreign domination to the Jews, especially supporters of the Hasmonean dynasty. In previous lessons, we covered some of the prophecies concerning Edom. We saw in our lesson on Amos how Edom would first be attacked by the Assyrians, then by the Babylonians, and then the Nabataeans around 400 BC. Nevertheless, as a group, the Edomites were completely destroyed by 70 AD. So it is quite possible that Obadiah's prophecy is far-reaching and includes multiple degrees of judgment and fulfillment. Obadiah introduces his book with the words, "The Vision of Obadiah." God gives Obadiah the ability to see what is going to happen to Edom. And Obadiah is going to be the mouthpiece of God. He says, "Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised." Let's take a closer look at these opening verses. First, the Lord is speaking, so the prophet is giving the source of the authority behind this prophecy. Second, the word rumor is misleading. We use that word today to indicate some news that we have heard, but has not been confirmed. Maybe it is true, maybe it isn't. In Hebrew, this word really means report. So in other words, an ambassador or a messenger is bringing a report to Obadiah and the people through the mouth of the Lord. It is a call to battle against Edom. Notice the verb tense that is used. I have made you small. Obadiah is speaking as if this has already occurred, and this is done to emphasize the certainty of Edom being reduced to nothing by the enemy forces. Edom may have had a reputation at some point of being powerful and strong, but now she is small and despised among the heathen. Her sin is pride. Obadiah says, "The pride of thy heart has deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord." We need to consider where Edom was located for these verses to be understood properly. The pulpit commentary describes the location as followed, and I'm quoting, "The country inhabited by the Edomites lay on the eastern side of the Negev desert and extended from the south end of the Dead Sea to the Arabian Gulf. It was a region of mountain and valley, difficult, and in many parts inaccessible from the west. Rock-hewn dwellings are found everywhere in those hills. The Edomites, when they expelled the original inhabitants, having adopted their habitations and excavated new ones on the same model throughout the whole district. These were useful, not only as being secure from hostile attack, but as cool retreats in the summer of that scorching tract, and offering a warm shelter in winter when fuel was scarce. Petra, the capital, lay completely hidden at the end of a rocky defile some 2 miles long and could easily be defended against an enemy by a handful of men." Unquote. That is why they are described as dwelling in the clefts of the rock and being confident that no one would be able to bring them down. But God says that even if, as an eagle, their nest was among the stars, God would be able to cast them down, and he will do just that. There is no maybe involved in this declaration. Obadiah then proceeds to elaborate on one aspect of their destruction. He says, "If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes?" What does he mean? He is saying that normally, when there is an invasion, they quickly take what they can and leave. There is usually something left behind. When there is a harvest, some of the grain or fruit is also left behind. But when Edom is eventually invaded, everything will be taken, and Edom will be utterly destroyed. Obadiah says, "How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up?" This may not seem very important, but it refers to how all of their hidden treasure will be found and seized. They were proud of their formidable location. They were also proud of their wealth. That would be taken from them as well. Edom was also proud of her alliances. For some time, Edom was at peace with the neighboring countries and considered them allies. This was a source of pride. They considered themselves wise and perhaps even ingenious for orchestrating this relationship with bordering nations. But Obadiah says that a day of reckoning is coming. All these people they have trusted will turn on Edom. They are pretending to be friends, but they are actually enemies. Obadiah describes them as someone you might have over for dinner as a friend, but this person is secretly waiting for the moment to attack you. In the day of trouble, not only will these nations not help Edom, but they will also help the foreign invader to attack. All their wisdom and courage shall fail because the Lord will take it away. In verses 10 through 14, Obadiah continues to lay out the cause of Edom's destruction. Again, there are some who think these verses refer to the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC, but I suggest it refers to the time of the invasion of Judea by Philistines and Arabians during the reign of Jehoram, where the Edomites sided with the enemy and acted as the prophet describes. This punishment is going to come upon her as the result of the malice and unfriendliness which she has displayed toward Israel in time of calamity, and that she rejoiced at her sister's disaster and took part with her enemies. The iniquity of Edom's behavior is aggravated by the fact that the victim was the brother Jacob, who was commanded not to hate the Edomites. So this prescribed friendship was not reciprocated by the descendants of Esau. Whether from envy at the superior privileges of Israel or from other causes, the Edomites from the time of Moses had always been actively hostile to the Israelites. They had been subdued by David, but had lately rebelled and scoured their independence and were always looking for an opportunity to revenge themselves on their conquerors. Obadiah is accusing the Edomites of not only watching and rejoicing in the attack on Jerusalem, but also assisting the enemy in capturing the Israelites who were trying to flee. This is a major reason why Edom will be destroyed. Obadiah continues with the words, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thy own head." You may recall from the lesson on Joel what the expression, "the day of the Lord," can mean. It refers to a day of judgment, a day of deliverance, or the final judgment. So in this context, it is referring to a specific day of judgment for Edom. In the same manner that they rejoiced, participated, attacked, plundered, and abused others, this would be returned to them in due course. When we read that they shall be as though they had not been, we see that as a people, they will be completely destroyed. And that is why at the beginning of the lesson, I mentioned that by 70 AD, the last of the Edomites perished. The rest of the book of Obadiah addresses the restoration of Israel. There are a few aspects concerning this deliverance and restoration. One is that it is emphasized that Edom will cease to exist and that other nations will inhabit and take over where she once lived and ruled. Another is that the prophet is looking into the distant future, where Israel and Judah will be reunited after the captivity, and they will be able to return and re-inhabit the land once again. There will be deliverance upon Mount Zion, that is Jerusalem, because when the Jews return from captivity, both the temple and the walls of Jerusalem would be rebuilt. But I believe this is another example of a dual-level prophecy, where in this example, Zion also refers to the church of all ages, the spiritual body of believers. The day would be coming that God would extend his kingdom throughout the whole world. And so Obadiah ends his book with the words, "And the kingdom shall be the Lord's."